You say you did it. I say you didn't. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. I say you got lucky. You say I didn't try. So you say it all worked. I say not for me. You say I didn't try. I say you just don't see why. You say I didn't try. I ask, can't you cry? You ask, why should I? I ask as I sigh. Why can't you see it? If we exist as I, too few will make it if we are only I. Folks, that's the whole question in life is how much do we care about others and how much do we sacrifice a little bit to make our world a better place? We're going to talk about all kinds of issues on this show. This is the Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, and I'm your host, Alan Jennings.
The arts. Some of us see them as graffiti. Some see them as the precision of the stroke of a painter's brush. Some as the sweaty drummer of a rock and roll band. There's dance and all its genres, music and in its many genres. Acting and even welding can be art. It's photography. It's the written word from poetry to an epic novel. One doesn't think of art as the center of a pretty massive political landscape. There aren't enough resources to develop everyone's artistic talent. There are only a few Bruce Springsteens, Pavarottis, and Jasper Johns. Most artists are waiting on tables in New York or L.A. So when there are countless interests and limited resources, you'll have politics. Some of the politics are the interpersonal sort. Some are the political fight for government resources. Some are the battles for attention. And even here in the quaint setting of our Lehigh Valley, we have the politics of the arts. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host. I'm, in my real life, the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley, where I've been for my entire life. WDIY is kind enough to give me this mic once a month, and I take full advantage of it. Tonight, my guests are Randall Forte, longtime executive director of the Lehigh Valley Arts Council. Welcome, Randall.
Thank you.
David Mickenberg, only fairly recently brought to the Lehigh Valley as the Priscilla Payne Hurd Executive Director of the Allentown Art Museum of the Lehigh Valley. That's not enough there. David, can you make it a little bit longer?
Yes, I'm actually the president and CEO of the Allentown Art Museum of the Lehigh Valley.
So you're the Lehigh Valley, you're the Priscilla Payne Hurd President and CEO of the Allentown Art Museum of the Lehigh Valley.
Correct. You can actually take off of the Lehigh Valley. That's sort of a moniker that's been added over the years, but the official title is the Allentown Art Museum.
And people give me a hard time about being the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley.
That's why we have an exclusive club.
Okay, and then finally, one of my favorites as well, Cassie Hilgert, the top cat at ArtsQuest, the closest thing to an 800-pound gorilla on the Lehigh Valley's art scene. So, Cassie, you look terrific, by the way.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's just ArtsQuest, not ArtsQuest of the Lehigh Valley, so we're good. We're just going to one word.
That is a quick and simple one, and I appreciate it. Okay, so don't think we're going to have too much fun tonight just because we're all friends. There is the politics of the arts out there, and we're going to talk about that. Just for some context, so let's start with your elevator pitch about what you do, just to give everybody, in case anybody doesn't know what y'all do. Well, Randall, we'll start with you. Let's make it like the 5 to 7 story building, not the Empire State Building, but.
Sure. We were proud to claim the Lehigh Valley as part of our name, the Lehigh Valley Arts Council. We're a regional arts advocacy and service organization. Every community, according to their dynamic, has a unique arts council to serve them. This community didn't need another performing or presenting organization, so it arose, began about 30 years ago, to serve as an organization to bring the community together and to encourage them to work together in order for all of them to succeed and thrive.
That was 7 stories. That was pretty good. Cassie?
ArtsQuest is a Bethlehem-based nonprofit dedicated to arts and cultural programming that spurs urban revitalization. So that second half of our mission, urban revitalization, has been at our core since we started Music Fest 36 years ago, added on Chris Kinemart, the Banana Factory, Steel Stacks, and our next efforts will be a new banana factory here in the south side of Bethlehem.
All very impressive. David.
The Allentown Art Museum is an 85-year-old museum founded by artists in the community in 1934. It boasts collections that range from the 13th century through to the 21st century. It has it's a community-based collaborative organization that has worked in the past 24 months with more than 260 organizations in the presentation of exhibitions and in their related educational and outreach programming.
That was nine stories.
Well, what can I say?
Thanks to all of you. So let's start with, you know, one of those tough questions. How underfunded are the arts? I mean, it's impossible not to complain about the lack of resources in all the nonprofit sector. But, I mean, when it comes to arts, you know, how underfunded are they?
I think the arts is probably one of the most underfunded areas. And part of that reason is...
Next to the IRS.
It is difficult to make the case sometimes when you're next to... a food bank, when you're next to health services. I think we have not done collectively, as not just here in the Lehigh Valley, but I'd say nationwide, a great job making a compelling argument for why the arts should be up there, whether it's in public funding or out of someone's own bank account. So I think we are severely underfunded, and I think part of that is because we haven't made a great case necessarily when we talk from a broad perspective.
Randall, what's your perspective?
I couldn't give you figures as to what would be adequate funding. There are some 150 nonprofit arts and cultural nonprofit arts and organizations here in the Lehigh Valley for an area that
150.
Yes, for an area that geographically isn't that large, that tells a big story. Partly because I think the Lehigh Valley has not operated or existed as a group of entities working together. There's no regional cultural plan for the arts. It's at its worst sort of medieval here. At its best, it's benign neglect. But I think the circumstances today, with more increasing competition from for-profit commercial venues, as well as just the sheer number of existing nonprofits, it's important that we start working together and evaluate the position, the importance, the role, the impact of all the arts here in the Lehigh Valley.
David, how about you?
I think the arts are massively underfunded for a variety of reasons that are both cultural and historical. So there has always been a deep-seated suspicion of the arts in the United States that goes back to the early Republic about the role of the arts in society and arts as revolutionaries and as critical of American society, and a fear of what the arts can bring. There has also been a time lag in the arts where the arts are funded the way they were funded 50 and 60 years ago, and that funding model no longer exists. And we have been slow to understand the change. Within Allentown, it's fair to state that between 2008 and 2010 or 11, a majority of the major patrons to the arts passed away, and there has not been a new donor class that has arisen to the same degree as those people who founded the arts organizations and who funded them for a very long period of time. And during that same time period, the city stopped funding the arts, the state stopped funding to the degree that it was, RCAP funding has gone down from what it used to be, and at the same time as that, the federal government has become not irrelevant, but less relevant than it ever was in terms of funding. So when you combine all of that into one pot, you have a crisis.
So when you run an arts organization, do you chase the dollar and deliver the performances that you know will sell, or do you try to lead the community in the direction of, you know, whatever, avant-garde, you know, whatever is the hippest, latest thing that people aren't hip enough or, you know, to understand yet?
I think you need to build relationships throughout the community, especially with non-arts organizations, and make your organization more relevant. There are two very important issues that the Lehigh Valley faces. One is the education system here in the Valley and the role the arts play in that, as well as the cultural diversity community and the community with disabilities that are not integrated into the current cultural landscape. And these are areas that I think need, there's room for development. And also, I think as organizations, we all have a responsibility to do more research in the field in order to make the case, as Cassie says, for the value of the arts. I mean, we all talk about the importance of the arts and education. And each of us have had arts and education programming. But what is the real impact of that programming? How has it impacted truancy, graduation rates, test scores? I mean, where is the research being done in order to mark and to make that case and to show that we are indispensable in this community?
I was a political science major in college, and yet my favorite class was the history of the of fine art. And so I can tell you the difference between a Tintoretto and a Titian, believe it or not. But I think the percentage of the population that, you know, that has that kind of appreciation is pretty small, right? So then you've got Cassie. And Cassie, you know, I know that you responded to, you made comments about the baby boom generation being, you know, cool enough to go to concerts. And if you don't provide baby boom generation shows, you're not going to get the gate that you need to have to sustain the organization. And so as a result, you're not getting, you know, whatever. There hasn't been a new musician come out recently that I like, but, you know, any of the new hip stuff, because you've got an audience that you know is a reliable audience that's going to spend money on concert tickets. So what do you do?
So we're a little different, I think. You know, the Allentown Art Museum has such a defined mission. They have such a fantastic collection. We operate in the popular culture realm. So when we look to bring programming in, we have a really broad canvas that we can paint. I would say very bluntly that we chase after the dollar in order to put on some other programming that we know isn't going to generate a dollar. And I think that's our specific organization's responsibility to be fiduciary agents of donated dollars and to maximize those. So yes, we're going to put on an Eagles tribute band in order for us to bring some of the newest artists that come through the Valley, and we take a bath on those shows. Mm. We have some of those artists that showcase in the Banana Factory that we know we are going to lose money on. New festivals that we roll out typically lose money for 5 years before they get on their feet. How do you fund that? There are donations. There's all kinds of grants we go after. But we also are able to look at our other venues and put in more popular, appealing programming to our base that we know will help to fund that.
And I think because your mission is not exclusive to the delivery of art, you say it from the beginning, and just Jeff did before you, Jeff Parks, that is, the founder of Arts Quest, that... you know, you've got a pop audience, and your agenda is as much economic development or community development or both as it is the promotion of the arts.
Without question. So that lets us open up revenue streams that, you know, you can take a lot of knocks for, and I understand that, and it makes it a more difficult conversation when people are buying a beer for $9 at Music Fest and then say, you know, you must be rolling in the dough because you sell beer for $9, because we don't get a chance to sit down and talk about the economics of the festival and that we're putting out about $7 million before the first note is ever played and hoping that we get a lot of that back if the sun shines. And if it doesn't, right, we don't.
You're listening to WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. WDIY is Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Many choices, real voices. David, you were going to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that all arts organizations are an aspect of economic development. All arts organizations are an aspect of education. All arts organizations are an aspect of entertainment. Certainly, the museum delivers educational programming through an entertaining venue, and entertainment is part of our dialogue, and we don't make any bones about that. At the same time, we have economic impact on the community of somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million. And in fact, there are no examples of communities that have not developed, if they weren't in collaboration with and supportive of their main cultural anchors within the community and of artists within the community. That artists, arts institutions, or art-led economic development is a key moniker for cities across the country, including Allentown. So to look at any one individual organization as only one aspect is, I think, a mistake. Certainly, the museum brings close to 100,000 people a year into downtown. Other than the PPL Center, you cannot point to another organization that does that. At the same time, we work with more than 200 community-based organizations in the delivery of social services, in art related to health industry, in art that relates to education, that we have 60 artist educators that teach at the museum on an ongoing basis throughout the year and are part and parcel of the downtown school district. So I think that when you look at the arts, they're actually a complex organism that fosters the development of the city and of our region. And what we're missing here for all of us is the involvement of the city in the development and support of not only its anchors, but its artists and its arts organization. And at the same time, the arts organizations have not, to the degree necessary, come together to advocate for that support.
You've done some pretty, what should I call it? Be careful here. You've shaken the system up a little bit. You've been kind of pushing a change agent agenda. How is that working for you? Is that working financially? Is it working in terms of your broader support, the number of people walking through the door? How are you?
So our attendance is up. Not only is our attendance is up, but our grants and support mechanism through corporations, foundations, and other organizations has massively increased in the last 3 to 4 years. The support from some of the key funders in the community like Trexler Trust and the Century Fund and the Homer Foundation have gone up geometrically. And I think that now close to 30% of the audience in the museum comes from the neighborhood surrounding the museum because we are particularly paying attention to new audiences at the museum and the development of new audiences. But like Cassie said, we have a balancing act. Mm-hmm. And the balancing act is that as we develop more contemporary art exhibitions to develop newer audiences and younger audiences, we also have to develop programming that attracts our traditional audiences and keeps them as supporters of the institution. So you saw the Hudson River School exhibition, which was a phenomenal exhibition, which also made you think about the identity of America and the early manifestations of the American experiment as it was portrayed in art. And you're seeing the Carrie Mae Weems exhibition now, which speaks to a very different America and a very different set of priorities and issues. Both are as important to the museum and to the attraction and maintenance of an ever-expanding base of support. So we haven't eschewed the past. We've broadened our base and broadened our programming and broadened the fact that they are welcome to new audiences.
You're listening to, that was David Mickenberg, the Allentown Art Museum. Also in the studio with me this evening are Cassie Hilgert, who runs ArtsQuest, and Randall Forte, longtime executive director of Lehigh Valley Arts Council. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, Many Choices, Real Voices. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around.
The Many Choices and Real Voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
WDIY offers Many Choices and Real Voices.
This is Martin Richter. Join me and our other hosts each weekday from 9 to noon for WDIY Classics, medieval to baroque, romantic to modern, along with concert information and artist interviews.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. This is WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, Many Choices, Real Voices. I've got David Mickenberg from the Allentown Art Museum, Cassie Hilgert from ArtsQuest, and Randall Forte from Lehigh Valley Arts Council with us. We're talking about the politics of the arts. And you can imagine when there's lots of opportunity and not enough resources, there is politics. You know, as I was thinking about putting this group together, I had to have you because you got that whole regional thing going on and you're an advocacy group. you have probably, you're kind of in the middle of the, quote, politics of the arts. And my guess is that, that you're, out of that 150 organization group that you talked about earlier, that there are probably lots of them that don't hit anybody's radar, more than a handful of people. What are you seeing among those smaller groups, the Touchstone Theaters of the world and the alternative art gallery and things? What's your perspective?
Well, I think the small and mid-sized groups represent a higher level of engagement on a personal level with the community. I mean, there are people who are involved in productions. Touchstone does community-based theater, so they're involving the residents of the of South Bethlehem into their productions. You have a simple Summer Men's Harmony Chorus, a chorus of 42 men who meet once every couple of weeks to rehearse and do about 4 to 5 concerts a year. These are not straining the Lehigh Valley in terms of resources, a group like that, but what they're offering is an opportunity for involvement and engagement. And they share it with their family and friends. And that's kind of special here in the Lehigh Valley. We have a lot of small groups like that. My personal effort is to try and raise the stature of the arts. And one of the ways to do that, I hope, is to try and secure a seat, for instance, on the Lehigh Valley Partnership. There is no representation of the arts on that in that group. And if
the Lehigh Valley Partnership, just for everybody's information, is a group of the top corporate CEOs in the Lehigh Valley that get together and do all kinds of things and have done things over the years related to improving communities.
Through regional efforts and initiatives. And I think the community would be well served, the arts community would be well served to be represented by an arts organization like the Lehigh Valley Arts Council. And it would help, it would give us a seat at the table so that businesses, and when they offer opinions, they're held accountable for those opinions by someone who is from the arts community can, you know, comfortably debate that opinion and maybe change some perspectives about the value of the arts here in the Lehigh Valley.
I do anti-poverty work, and the organization's a fairly big one, and there are a lot of people that resent the heck out of my organization. And I wonder, you know, we've got Cassie here, and I called her an 800-pound gorilla earlier. She's actually awfully cute, but she's
off the rails already.
She's got a huge chunk of the action out there, and so I wonder, you know, is there a lot of interorganizational resentment among the arts groups? I mean, is the turf consciousness, stymie these kinds of efforts? Is Cassie, you know, the big bad guy with all the money? You know, how is the politics within the organizations?
I think that there's always turf wars in any industry. So, you know, I have come from the healthcare industry where I worked for Good Shepherd for 5 years. So you could talk about that industry and the turf wars there. I think naturally there are within arts organizations, because what we do is so different. The mediums dictate how you act, who you go after funding-wise, what you're looking for, and what your definition of inclusivity or access is. So, you know, I don't think it's something we should shy away when there are differences in turf issues. I think we need to spend time, and we haven't, on finding some commonalities. I've had those discussions with smaller organizations that will come to us and say, you need to partner with us. And we do partner with about 190 organizations a year. But when the smaller organizations come to us and say, listen, you got to help us, you know, either keep our doors open or raise visibility, it's a great opportunity for us to educate them that while we're large, our risk is large.
Yeah.
And when you look at the margins of small or a large organization, they're not much different percentage-wise. Yeah. It's just the amount of risk that you're looking at.
Yeah, that's why, you know, my organization, I've got a whole bunch of different pieces. Every one of those pieces is stretched to its breaking point. And just ask any of my staff, they'll tell you that, you know, it's just crazy. And, so I don't think there's any difference. I mean, because all of us want to deliver the most we possibly can for the funds that we've got. We want to be responsible stewards of the resources available to us.
So I'd love this conversation to go in a little bit of a do what my grandfather said, place our emphasis on a different syllable, and say that, you know, it's we're all in competition for limited dollars, and the number of sources is limited and small, and so that competition is natural, and it appears in any industry, and it's not anything that I'm particularly concerned about. What I am concerned about,
but you're
is
a 400-pound gorilla.
Well, thank you. I've lost some weight recently, and I'm really proud of that. And my stories are going down at 400. Hey, Alan. But I think that as a 400-pound gorilla, we need to prove our worth to the community on a daily basis, and we need to prove our impact on the community, and we need to benchmark that. And I think every organization needs to benchmark that and prove it to the community. Where I would like to spend part of this conversation is that in order to expand the resources in the community, in order to justify broader participation by an increased patron class, I think that we need to collaborate more. We need to cooperate more. We need to work together more. That the trustees of all organizations need to work together on political advocacy. That the research that is being done by various different sources in the community needs to be collaboratively rendered so we don't duplicate resources and research prerogatives. That we need to collaborate more on the delivery of information that justifies support for the arts. It's that research that's been done nationally. It's out there. It's undeniable, and it's everywhere. And yet the delivery mechanisms within our community don't exist. So I think that collaboration and cooperation and research development and advocacy efforts need to be punched up tremendously in order for the arts to be sustainable.
That sounds like to me like you're advocating for more resources for what Randall does.
I'm advocating for more resources for what everybody does. That this cultural community here is great at what it does and has some unique examples at the museum, at Arts Quest, at the Arts Council, at the Cultural Coalition, at the theater, at the Baum School, at the Symphony. There's some unique, talented, exceptional artists and organizations that are working on a scale that is both regional as well as national and of international importance. That word doesn't get out. So am I advocating for more resources for Randall? Yes. Am I advocating for more resources for Cassie? Yes. More resources for the Cultural Coalition? Yes. More resources for the museum? Absolutely yes. But I do think that the advocacy efforts on behalf of the arts need to be exponentially increased.
Well, you're one of the major arts education organizations here in the Lehigh Valley. Are you considering doing some research on the impact of the museum on your educational
situation? Actually, the museum benchmarks its impact, and we present that impact on an annual basis. At the same time, the museum was integral in forming the Cultural Coalition in terms of the research that it's doing through Metrics right now in Easton on the creative industries here and looking at what the impact of the creative industries is in the Lehigh Valley. And that research will come out in the next several months. The museum justifies itself constantly and documents its impact constantly, both through empirical data as well as through apocryphal data. And so the stories we tell, the stories that came out of the first year of the summer camp, which was a middle school summer camp for 100 kids, the fact that every guardian, parent, or a sponsor participated in that program in a meaningful way, both during and after the program. The fact that we had kids walking 2 miles to get into the camp is documentation in and of itself about the impact of the arts on education. And that is a partnership with the school district as well as multiple community-based organizations. So I think the museum does that. The museum is proud of what other research it's sponsored in the community and what other kinds of collaborations we've engendered in the community. I think the same thing is true with Cassie's organization and the impact that they have in the community. I'm not going to speak for them, but the same thing with your organization. I think when you wake up in the morning to go to your thing about the change that has occurred at the museum, when you wake up in the morning, you've entered a changed society. That American society today, society and culture in the Lehigh Valley is not what it was 5 years ago. It's not what it was 20 years ago. And the cultural community has to change along with it. And so the programmatic initiatives that you've seen in multiple organizations are changing in order to address those concerns.
So is everybody dropping the ball, or is one element of our society dropping? I mean, is government at fault? Are we at fault individually? Are you at fault for not delivering the product that people want? Where's the shortfall happening? Can you point to the bad guy?
Well, I think that would be too easy. I think blame rests everywhere. I mean, if you want to say it's one thing, I don't see where that ever is a situation for the problem or the solution. But I think if you're also looking at it negatively and saying, is everyone doing poorly, I don't think you're going to get to a solution. I would rather look at it the other way, that while we still have a ways to go, when you look at where we were 5 or 10 years ago, we've got some pretty sophisticated organizations and voices that are advocating around here. I would like to see us at a higher level of understanding, and again, this is where I put it back on us, but you were touching on it, David, that we're all out there screaming about our impact on the community. This is what ArtsQuest does, this is what the Art Museum does, because we're trying to justify those dollars we're getting from the funders. If we had a stronger voice about the arts, where instead of Randall just trying to get all these organizations to give him the information he needs to be able to do these reports, if we all had a more robust study, for lack of a better word, where we've elevated the communication and dialogue among funders, sponsors, members, general community, that we're talking now at a much higher level. Right now, we're all just arguing and yelling into the wind about how important we are individually as organizations. Just like you see the Manufacturers Resource Council, or LVDC, when there is a valley-wide issue, workforce development, they pick it up, they run with it. Once they put their stamp on it and say this is a problem, people start to rally around it and find some solutions or change how they do business to address that. I don't think we have that as an arts community right now. We're so fractured still because we're mostly made up of artists, and that's naturally herding cats.
Well, but Cassie, when your organization was really taking off, and like this redevelopment down here, there was a big, and talk about 800-pound gorilla, this is like a 2,000-pound gorilla, it was America's mayor. You know, Ed Rendell had been, you know, former urban mayor, had become governor, and was putting money into redevelopment of cities like there was no tomorrow. And there was a tomorrow, thanks in large part because of that. We don't have, this governor's a Democrat just like Ed Rendell was, but I don't see the kind of impact coming out of the Wolf administration that Rendell was able to pull off. So is that not the case?
We don't have Lenny Fowler either.
Yeah,
you know, we have lost individual donors, yeah. Like we have lost some individuals in government.
Dexter Baker.
Right. Rick, you know. Berman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think we have that. I think what you have more from the Pennsylvania delegation is, you know, working with the resources they have, moving the ball when they can. I'm not sure that this political landscape allows for any one giant personality to emerge right now and say, here's the direction we're going within the arts. We're at such a different level of government and discourse that I don't see us getting there.
But I don't think I'm not sure that the impetus lies just on government.
Absolutely
that
not.
Same
well, I was asking
of,
across the board. I
leadership.
Just named them as an example.
Right. Well, I think American society has changed radically, and its attitudes towards the arts has changed radically. The kind of input that you saw in government from the great Johnson's Great Society on down to the 80s doesn't exist anymore. That society's focus has shifted. And the shift for the arts organizations has been, well, what's your value to economic development? What's your value to healthcare? What's your value to education? The idea of having the arts for the sake of the arts is not the argument anymore. It's not the value-added proposition that it used to be. It is now, what is your impact on those very diverse areas of need? And so arts organizations, which are predominantly made up of artists but also of scholars, are scrambling to find that new terminology, that new vocabulary, in order to justify need in a way that nobody was ever asked before.
What I worry about is that the internet and the democratization of information, if you will, and the market for that matter, is never going to give us another rock and roll supergroup, for example. And when you have, you know, when you have rock and roll supergroups, there's a lot of money being going through the system. People are making money. They have money to give. They can intervene on behalf of the little guys. Now all you've got is a bunch of little guys. Nobody's making a whole ton of money. And, you know, I think the rising tide, there ain't no rising tide. I think, if anything, the tide is dropping somewhat. And I wonder about that. I mean, REM, you know, is gone. We've got U2 is probably the lonely supergroup left of that era. And I think that has enormous implications for the industry in general. Does that make any sense?
I would go the opposite way. I think the internet democratization of all those channels is giving us voices that we never would have heard from in the 70s or 80s or even 90s with traditional radio.
I agree with that, but it's not labels. Generating the financial resources that the Who did, right? I mean, I can't. Who's the supergroup today?
Ooh, Lady Gaga's not bad.
Lady Gaga,
Pink,
Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars, but you know, I don't know. I worry about that. Randall, did you want to jump in?
I mean, I'm struck by what David said. I mean, I think there's great opportunity in the Lehigh Valley because there's a lot of organizations here, and we're not that large, so it's manageable. We could embark, perhaps, on some kind of long-term research in terms of education. The Arts Council had brought in James Catterall from the University of Southern California, one of the foremost researchers in arts education, and he wrote a book of discussing this 12-year study he did, following kids from middle school through high school, college, early adulthood. And doing good and doing well by doing art is the name of the book, and the name of the results of the research. And what he found was that not only when there was continual and consistent engagement with the arts, these students, of course, did very well in school. They also did very well in their job pursuits and in their communities. They volunteered. And guess what? They voted. And one of the biggest, I think, the most positive arguments to make for the value of the arts in our schools is the fact that public schools were created to create good citizenship. And the arts are a natural platform for the free expression of ideas. And, you know, we can embrace, perhaps, those concepts and try and do a study, because many of the organizations are involved with arts and education programs. Bethlehem Now is doing the Any Given Child research. And I think one of the goals should be to create more research so we can make this case to the community at large. Because quite frankly, most the only donor class that is increasing seems to be the individuals.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, more Many Choices, Real Voices. I'm Alan Jennings, your host. We're going to take another quick break. Stick around. We got a little bit more to talk about.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, with branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
We're talking about the arts, the politics of the arts. So this is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. Was there ever a good time to be in the arts? I mean, you know, so many of us kind of talk about, you know, the sentimental days of yore. And, you know, I look back and I don't see a whole lot of, times when any issue was better. But was there a time that you wish you had again? Or is it it was just a matter of trying to chart a new course in a changing world?
It sounds so cliche, but I'm so excited about what's coming up. I mean, to see how this valley changes year by year. From the time I moved here in 1981, it felt like we were just swimming in jello for a couple of decades. And then change started to come. And I feel like that change is accelerating year by year. So for me, I don't think we have scratched any kind of surface when it when we're talking about what can we do collectively as arts organizations. What is this valley going to be like in 5 years? I think it's going to look and feel and sound completely different, and that to me is what gets me.
You
up
seem
excited.
Optimistic that it's going to be cooler and hipper and work better. And,
absolutely,
man. How and, do you get and to be that optimistic
problems.
Type? Here's me. I think of myself as cynical enough to understand what I'm up against, but optimistic enough to pick the fight anyway. That's my. My tagline on optimism.
Well, I think what the internet has opened us up to, mm-hmm. and what new populations and new immigrant populations within this valley have opened us up to, is this huge array of talent and ideas that are out there that are being brought to the table, and this notion that there are very few geographical boundaries to talent and to new ideas and to research and to exciting concepts that are integrated into the community, and also a very different way than what existed in the past about how you integrate and involve the community from the ground up rather than from the top down. But when you ask about eras that you sort of long for, you know, the excitement about the creation of NEA in its early years and the accessibility of funding, you know, I think it would be irresponsible to say we don't long for that. The days when IMLS gave out GOS operating support, and that GOS operating support was based on the propagation of excellence, we really miss that kind of funding that enabled institutions to thrive.
That so, kind of respect
right.
as well.
Cassie, you have to be old to know about what they're, right. what they're talking about.
Yeah, is that yeah. It's the age thing? Got it. I appreciate that compliment.
It is. So organizationally, are you all doing anything? Are you planning anything different? Are you hanging a left? Are you hanging a right? Are you speeding up? How are you looking at the world going forward?
We are hanging a left. We're speeding up. We're changing direction. I think, you know, we are going to be going into a pretty large capital campaign in the next year or so. That's going to be looking at building new buildings to increase access to the arts, increase our risk reserves and capital reserves so we can bring more experiential programming here to the Valley from all across the world. But I think that's something we've been doing for the past 35 years. So that's not necessarily different for us as far as a goal. I think our hope is that we're going to continue to stay connected to the community. We've got, you know, 2,000 volunteers and 5 different boards. We've got 80 board members, and we feel like that gives us a decent connection to the community about what's coming up, what's changing, and what we need to be offering.
We're doing small things. For instance, we're launching an arts advocate publication. I mean, advocacy is such a unfriendly term. I mean, it's not warm and fuzzy. And when you start breaking it down, what is advocacy? Volunteerism is advocacy. Civic engagement is advocacy. So we're launching this bi-monthly newsletter, which will sort of investigate and talk to people in the community, those that volunteer and why they do it, so that we can all be more versed in advocating for support for the arts.
For those of you who are interested, Lehigh Valley Arts Council, what's the website? How do they get in touch with you?
lvartscouncil.org, our forte at lvartscouncil.org. Be happy to talk to you.
So people who want to get involved and be part of the battle, they can be in touch with you. The arena, we were talking about, well, I was figuring you guys are bigger names, so what?
He didn't get to answer.
I really?
Well, maybe I didn't care about his answer.
I guess it's because I'm not cute.
Go ahead, David. I actually
but I weigh twice as much as you.
I'm somewhat familiar with it, David. No, seriously, go ahead.
I think that your question is, are you turning right? Are you staying centered? I think all arts organizations, in order to survive, are turning to the left, but they have a rear view mirror, which they're looking at the past and part of that heritage and the heritage that created ArtsQuest, the heritage that created the museum, and we want to maintain that heritage and engage new audiences and broaden out. So we're turning left. We're going to be engaged in a campaign that is both sustainability-oriented and capital-oriented. We're looking at the fact that we've developed over the last 5 years an extraordinary donor base of collectors that have augmented the photography collections and the sculpture collection and the print collections and the American art collections, and we need facilities to house that. We're looking at what we've learned from the community in the last 2 years of community surveys and information coming back from the community about what they're looking for, and be able to have the facilities in order to service those needs as well as future professional needs of the staff and the collections. So we're turning left. We're also looking at the back, and we're also looking at developing more donors, more patrons, but also more community groups that work in collaboration with us.
David, I know you know about this, but I have for some time felt that the arena was capable of generating substantial resources for the arts community. I think that if you had a way of tacking 50 cents surcharge onto each of the tickets of people going to the hockey games and to Elton John concerts would generate hundreds of thousands of dollars, and not a single person paying that extra 50 cents is going to feel it, and certainly not going to walk away from the Elton John ticket because it costs them 50 cents more. Why aren't we going after that opportunity?
So let me say that that's not the only way that the arts can be supported.
I know, but it would be a good way.
It would be. And to say that we shouldn't be looking at that is, I think, a mistake. But we should also be looking at a percent for art program. This is the only state that doesn't have a statewide percent for art program. This is one of the only major cities in Pennsylvania that does not have a percent for art program. You have some issues about the way ANISDA was written and the contracts for both the Iron Pigs as well as for the PPL Center was written that may inhibit some of that growth, some of that surcharge. But at the same time, you have a trust issue involved in that surcharge. That surcharge going to the arts is something that can be revised. That's something that can be taken away, and that would affect the arts organizations in terms of their own sustainability. So, Cassie, if I'm not mistaken, there's an entertainment tax in Bethlehem, but you don't get anything from it.
Correct.
So you pay for it, but you don't get anything in return for it. I think that when you're talking about that kind of surcharge, then there has to be some very tough language that goes along with it, where that money wouldn't be taken away when financial need on a city basis comes a calling. But I do think that there are other issues that we should be looking at, from the public improvements project at ANISDA to percent for art programs to other types of public solicitation of public funds for the arts that we should be talking about. And certainly, if Allentown, and here I'm going to talk about Allentown in particular, not just the Lehigh Valley, if Allentown's redevelopment wants to thrive, wants to be sustainable, wants to continue beyond the NIS, then it needs to engage the arts in an ever more creative and sustainable way. And it needs to also provide sustainable funding for its anchors.
As a founding board member of ANISDA, I know a little bit about that subject, and I would tell you that they have the Brooks brothers have such a juicy deal going that we should be putting pressure on them. Don't call it a surcharge. Just get the Brooks brothers to make the contribution that they could and should be making. They've got a very preferential lease in that building, one that doesn't sustain the building.
I would go broader though. I mean, to there is no arena in any city that is going to offer enough programming that will support everything else that surrounds it.
Right, but it would be
it just
part
doesn't
of the mix.
Exist. It's part of the mix, but I think you have to look broader. I'm the chair of Discover Lehigh Valley, and obviously there's a lot of funding that goes to Discover Lehigh Valley and LVDC through hotel taxes.
Right.
Arts programming puts more heads in beds. The studies have shown that when you go in and you see a major sporting event, you drive in, you park, you see the event, you leave. When you come in for arts programming, you're typically staying and investing more in that area. So I think if you do consider that, you have to go way past the arena, way past the concert ticket that is already getting layered with fees and all kinds of problems. This needs to be a charge or somehow generating revenue from everyone who lives in that community, because what we both do at the Art Museum and at ArtsQuest that you don't hear a lot about is all the programming that is offered to anyone without charge, so it's access for all. That, to me, means all need to be providing funding for it.
This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Many choices, real voices. I've got with me in the studio Randall Forte, Lehigh Valley Arts Council, Cassie Hilgert from ArtsQuest, David Mickenberg from the Allentown Art Museum. Let's talk about counterculture for a few minutes. alternative arts gallery, as an example. The innovation has historically come out of the African-American community, largely, you know, new genres that African-Americans have created, and then, frankly, white folks have come along and sort of co-opted them, whether it was, you know, jazz, the blues, rock and roll, reggae, even hip-hop. Are we paying enough attention to the minority community when it comes to the arts in the Lehigh Valley?
I don't think we are. I think that's something that we aspire to. We have programming where we are trying to get more community buy-in and involvement to help us literally book certain programs and performers that will help to broaden that appeal. But I think, you know, that's an ongoing challenge for us.
And I don't think that there's been a recent flowering of creativity. I think that creativity has been here for decades, if not centuries.
That's what I'm saying. Jazz, blues, rock and roll.
It just hasn't been brought to the mainstream before. And that's where your comment earlier about internet access and exposure to new ideas because of social media has been so positive. So we haven't paid enough attention. I think there's more attention being paid. Is it sufficient? No. Are the number of venues that are available sufficient? No. But is there involvement of an expanded base of communities and identities in the core values and management of arts organizations? The answer is no. But I think that's better today than it was yesterday. It'll be better tomorrow than it is today. But we're not where we should be.
You did a terrific exhibit on the photography of the Civil Rights era, and I had the privilege and the honor to be part of it. I loved helping with that. Did that exhibit work for you?
So I'm not sure what you mean by work. Let me say that
Did it bring you more interest?
It was one of the most successfully attended exhibitions in the history of the museum.
Really?
The empathic response to that exhibition was extraordinary. I have never seen audiences before leave the museum in tears or delve into the level of conversation that came after that. I've never seen as many academic institutions participate in that project. And at the same time, I've never seen a panel discussion where we brought the original photographers together who hadn't seen each other since the March Against Fear. In a room that was supposed to have been an hour-long conversation that lasted 2.5 hours. So educationally, the integration of that program into the educational, various educational components from elementary school through to higher education was never greater. Attendance was phenomenal. And the buzz and the conversations in the community about that show were extraordinary.
Randall, the smaller groups, the newcomer groups and so on, are they representing, is the minority community represented in any of the constituencies that are part of the Arts Council?
Well, I think the path to representation is not, that journey is not easy to define. I would like to see a regional needs assessment as to what kind of expansion is necessary. And I asked the question, do we need more institutions for just the white middle class? I mean, how are we serving the minority community? Or are they supposed to build their own institutions and cultural? Because we don't have them here in the Valley. And I think as we move forward and expand, is it more of the same or is it more that's different?
I mean, I think this issue is huge. You know, I mean, we're going to be a majority minority community in like 7 or 8 years, 2 or 3 years before the country as a whole. And the minority community is very loyal. When they see somebody standing up for them, they latch on to it. They stick with it. And I worry about, as a community, whether we are doing enough to be inclusive, to be engaging, to make sure that rising tide that I mentioned earlier lifts all the boats. And just wondering if there's any specific strategy that you've got going forward that deals with this issue. I mean, you know, Cassie, you guys are generating so much development. There's got to be more that we could do there, no?
Well, I think, you know, we do about 4,000 camps, classes, and concerts a year. So we've got a lot of things we're putting on each year. And what you don't hear about as much is the LGBT Film Festival. You don't hear the Women's Filmmaker Festival that is going on.
Well, good. Let's
Three Kings
go ahead,
celebrations that we have. So I think we've got a lot of targeted programming that is reaching certain audiences. I think the challenge is for us to get not just programming for these communities. I think that sounds a little condescending right out of the gate. It's getting those communities involved in what is presented and having them be part of that presentation. And I'm going to throw out there, you know, getting women to the table still is a challenge in the arts. You talked earlier about, you know, sort of the heyday. The heyday was the, you know, white guy rocker group that went around, and we're seeing a huge change, which is where I think I get so much of that optimism. You know, it wasn't that long ago that you couldn't have a woman headline a festival anywhere in this country and be able to carry that ticket. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure. So let's just give you a quick opportunity to do a commercial. How are you doing on shows coming up for the Music Fest? You don't have all the headliners, do you?
We have four announced. We may have a couple more confirmed that we haven't announced yet. So far, they are doing great. When you look at the traditional ones, classic rock really does well for us. Some of the more experimental stuff, like Father John Misty and Gary Clark, some of the best shows that have ever been at Music Fest, very low turnout. So that contradicts a little bit sometimes when people say, why don't we bring newer, fresher artists here? Well, when we do, that isn't necessarily where we see the response. But that is why you see us put on a train in Goo Goo Dolls, because I know it will help to offset the losses we're going to have with acts like that are still coming up.
Right. David, we got 1 minute left. I want to just give you an opportunity. You've been around the block more than anybody, really, I think, when it comes to the arts. I mean, Cassie's done her
Another
whole
age
thing
coming.
Here.
Yeah.
Randall's done his. But you've been in, what, Roanoke and in, what, Oklahoma? And what are we, how do we compare to the other communities when it comes to delivery of the arts and the development of the arts?
So 30 seconds. I haven't seen anything here that I haven't seen elsewhere across America.
Meaning we're not doing anything particularly creative?
No, I think that the creative class here is unique and different, but this conversation has been about support. It's been about developing a patron class. It's been about changing and going left. And I think communities all across America are doing the exact same thing. Communities are changing. Urban environments are changing. Millennial groups want different things than they wanted before. Latino communities expect different things than what we've been delivering and the cultural community as a whole has been delivering in the past. So the change that is necessary here, the going left but looking over your shoulder to your past and respecting that past, the fostering of creativity on a local and regional level, those are all things that I've seen in other communities as well. But I do think the talent here is extraordinary, and the dedication of the founding fathers to each of these organizations is really an amazing act to behold.
You've been listening to David Mickenberg from the Allentown Art Museum, Cassie Hilger from ArtsQuest, Randall Forte, Lehigh Valley Arts Council. This community is lucky to have the three of you here. I appreciate your friendship, and you've been listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, Many Choices, Real Voices.